So tonight we come to message three. For the sake of those who were not with us during the afternoon meeting, I would like to just give a brief summary of the essence of what Brother Livingstone spoke. Of course, we know this weekend is a kind of a re-speaking of the messages given in the February Chinese speaking conference as one of the seven feasts. And even though it's a Chinese-speaking conference, is the Lord speaking in the body and for the body. So there in Anaheim is just the injection point. But even though we might not be able to attend the meetings there, we are part of the body. So that injection through the circulation, the fellowship, is bringing with it the supply to all the parts of the body. So the subject is living in the reality of the body of Christ by keeping the principles of the body. It's a continuation of the burden from the Thanksgiving Day conference last year, which is on the reality of the body of Christ. And both Brother Ni and Brother Lee, we might say their ministry culminates or climaxes or consummates at this matter, the body of Christ, right? Brother Ni, especially after his visit to Europe in the 1930s, he received this clear burden from the Lord. He saw that out of Europe, a lot of spiritual riches have been poured out through the various groups. But what is lacking among God's children is the body of Christ, the vision and the reality concerning the body of Christ. So since then, during the latter years of Bernice's ministry, he emphasized the body of Christ. 1939, he gave a complete conference on the body of Christ, and a lot of that was published in the book called The Mystery of Christ. I would encourage all of you to read that book again. And also, within that time frame, he spoke a lot about the body of Christ. and a lot of materials in this conference was actually drawn from that book, The Mystery of Christ. Yeah, as the body of Christ is the mystery of Christ. So, and Brother Lee, especially in 1994, after his sickness, he got this burden, commission from the Lord clearly that during the remaining years of his ministry, he should stress, emphasize the reality of the body of Christ. So after Brother Lee's departure, we have been having conferences or even elders trainings on this matter time again and again. This is always new and fresh to us. On the one hand, I understand many of you brothers have been, you know, in a lost recovery for decades. You must have seen something. Otherwise, you would not be here. Amen. So the Lord has really shown us something so that we can be preserved in His recovery. But new light is breaking forth all the time because this is out of the Lord's heart's desire. The reason why the Lord hasn't come back is because His bride is not ready. But for His bride to be ready, His body needs to be built up. That is why Brother Lee, in 1994, he said, "Where is the reality of the body of Christ?" Of course, we can't say that there is none at all. But according to Brother Lee's realization, there is little reality of the body of Christ, even though we have shared a lot concerning the body of Christ. But we still need much more reality. So during this Chinese-speaking conference, even though the messages were given in Chinese by Chinese-speaking brothers, Brother Ron gave a concluding word at the end of the meeting. And he started with this prayer. He said, at this conference, what the Lord wants to do is that every one of us has to make this very particular prayer. And the prayer is, Lord, cause your heart's desire to become my heart's desire. Amen. Amen. Lord, cause your heart's desire to become my heart's desire. Amen. Oh, we need to have this desire, this hunger, this thirst for the reality of the body of Christ. As much as the Lord himself is thirsting, hungering over this. Oh, he is looking at all the local churches, as Brother Lee said. He looked at all the 1,600 local churches. But where is the reality of the body of Christ? This question is a question actually out of the lost heart. That speaks of the lost heart's desire. The Lord wants to come back. But before he can come back, his body needs to be built up. Not in doctrine, not just in truth, but in reality. And not just in some outward practices. In the midst of all of these practices, there needs to be this reality. And of course, the message one is an overview. You might say some definitions concerning what this reality is. Okay, we have 6 points. The first point is this reality is a vision. Oh, we need this high peak revelation, high peak vision to see the reality of the body of Christ. It's something totally foreign to the human mind, to the natural concept. So for this, we need the spirit of revelation. Oh, we need our eyes to be opened to see this reality. And we need to have this reality to become our controlling vision. And what is reality? In the universe, only one person is a reality. That is the triune God himself. And thank the Lord, the triune God passed through all the processes. Father embodied in the Son and realized as the Spirit. Which spirit is the spirit of reality? So when we talk about the reality of the body of Christ, what is reality? The reality is just the spirit of reality constituted into us. So first, we need a vision. Second, we need a constitution. Oh, we pray, Lord, constitute more of yourself as the spirit of reality into every one of us. And the third, it's a condition, right? What is the spirit of reality transmitting into us? The Lord says, I'm going to the Father, and then the Father will send another one. And this one is the spirit of reality. He will transmit to you or convey to you all that he receives from me. So the Lord himself, when he was living on this earth, he was the embodiment of the triune God. And he was the first God-man, according to God's heart's desire. So Ephesians 4 says, the reality that is in Jesus, that is the living, lived out by the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. So on the one hand, we say reality is a triune God, realized as the spirit of reality. Today, what is this spirit constituting into us? He is constituting into us that very living person. The man Jesus, the first God-man who lived the God-man life as the reality is in Jesus. That is the reality of the universe. All human living is vanity of vanities. But there is one person's living which is a reality. Amen. So that is the third point, a condition. The condition of living, which is the God-man living. And what is the condition of this God-man living? This God-man living has two important characteristics. One is the mingling, the union and mingling of divinity with humanity. Before the incarnation, divinity is divinity, humanity is humanity. But what is incarnation? Incarnation is divinity entering into humanity. Amen. It's divinity lived out through humanity. Oh, the living of Jesus on earth is a perfect union and mingling of divinity with humanity. And it is this union and this mingling that the spirit of reality is working into us. So that our corporate living today in the body of Christ will be a duplication, a reproduction of this union and mingling of divinity with humanity. Amen. And the second prominent characteristic of the Lord Jesus living is that he is always living under the shadow of the cross. The cross of Christ, as we will share in this message, is not just a certain event that happened on Golgotha. No, the Lord Jesus, his living from the manger to the cross, is all together under the shadow of the cross. So, we have the next point, is the conformity to the death of Christ. When the Spirit of reality constitutes this God-man into us, he is constituting this death of Christ, the work of the cross, into us. Amen. So we have, number one, the vision. Number two, the constitution. Number three, the condition. Number four, the mingling. Number five, the conformity to the death. And then the last point is what? The mingled spirit. It's the key, the secret to our experience of the constitution by the Spirit of reality. How do we live this God-man life? How do we experience this divinity, humanity mingling? How do we experience the conformity to the cross? It's all together in our mingled spirit. Oh, I enjoy you saying, sharing, the sister sharing your experience on calling on the Lord, right? Oh, the moment I call on the Lord, oh, I find that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Oh, the story transpires from our spirit, from our regenerated spirit, mingled spirit, but it will spread to our souls, even to our body. Amen. So this is our secret. This is the key, our mingled spirit. Amen. So when we talk about the reality of the body of Christ, it's this reality, the reality that is in Jesus, the Spirit of reality, constituting this God-man living, this union, this mingling into us, together with the factor of the death of Christ. Amen. And it is all together experienceable in our mingled spirit. Amen. So that's the first message. And the following messages are on the principles of the body. When we talk about principles, we might have a natural concept of regulations. Yeah, you do something, you have some principles, you abide by certain regulations, outward rules. But when we talk about the body of Christ, it's an organic body. It's a living organism. So these principles are not outward rules, outward regulations that we have to follow. Number one, number two, number three, number four. Even though, yes, the brothers counted seven principles. But we need to see that these are organic principles. These are principles of life. Just like the law of the spirit of life. These are principles of life. Principles in life. These are actually the laws of life that operate in us to constitute us the body of Christ. So when we have the body of Christ in view, we have to have, in our view, a living organism. Amen. Amen. I was very impressed with Brother Lee when he was in Taiwan, 1984 to 1989, leading the churches onto the God-ordained way. Of course, our strongest impression is breaking up the big meetings into the small ones and going out to knock on doors and a holy word for morning revival. The life lessons, go to the home meetings with the new ones. But, you know, in the midst of all these outward practices, Brother Lee's burden, he shared again and again that these practices are what? Are for the organic function of all the members of the body of Christ. Amen. Why we want to break the big meeting up into small ones? It's to enable all the members to function in an organic way. Why don't we just want one person speaking and all the rest listening? Because we want everyone to function organically. Why we do not rely on the big gospel meeting? Why Brother Lee shows us every one of us can be a priest of the gospel. That is for us to carry out our organic function in the body. See, in those years, Brother Lee was leading us into these experiments and practices. And of course, there's the enemy's attack, criticisms, and even the turmoil. But Brother Lee was always ministering on the organic body of Christ. If you go back to his ministry in 1988, 89, 90, it's always on the organic body of Christ, on the organic functions of the body, of the members of the body. So all of the practices, precious practices, necessary practices that we are having in the church life today, we have to see it's all together for the body. Amen. Amen. So we have these messages on the principles of the body. So when we talk about the principles, we have to have in mind something organic, something of life, not just some outward rules that we follow. So message two is on two principles. What are they? The oneness of the body. One principle is the body is one. Amen. Among the Chinese-speaking saints, there is a popular idiom that 天错万错，天对万对，分裂就错. You can be right in a thousand things, but as soon as you are divided, you are wrong. Conversely, you can be wrong in a thousand things. As soon as you are one, you are right. That is the principle of the body. Oh, we need to live in this oneness of the body. Because Christ as the head of the body is one. So his body is uniquely one. And the second is the function of the body. What is the function of the body? The function of the body is to express the head. It's the expression of Christ. Right? While I'm speaking here, my whole body is functioning in order to express me. Right? If I come here, I just sit there, don't speak a word, I'll be a mystery to you. But now, the more I speak, the more I move about and do this and that. You know? Yeah. I am expressed. And of course, this is just an illustration. The body is all together for the function of the expression of Christ. Now, tonight we come to message three, two more principles. let me give this illustration. For our physical body, it's an organism. Everything is organic. And we have many principles, like the principles of metabolism, right? The principles of circulation and the principle of the nervous function, the nervous system, and so forth. These are all principles. You know, our body operates according to these principles. And nowadays, we often do regular medical checkups, right? Medical checkups, and then after the test, you did a blood test or x-ray or CT scan or whatever. Then the doctor gives you all the figures. Showing you, sometimes you get a red figure. That means, oh, this is not okay, right? Your circulation, something is wrong. Some brothers would check the cholesterol level if it's too high. Oh, be careful. There might be clotting of the blood vessels and so forth. So these tests are, you know, to expose to us if whether the principle in our physical body is operating normally, right? And so this time when we get into these principles, we need to be under the same enlightenment. When we talk about the oneness as a principle, we have to ask the Lord. We have to be enlightened by the Lord how much we are one. When we talk about the function, how much we are expressing Christ. So we need all these figures given by our Lord Jesus as the medical doctor. Maybe our brother Lee, he looked at our figures and said, oh, it's too poor, too poor, too poor, too poor. So very little reality. So when we go over these, we need to come under the Lord's light and be enlightened to see how healthy we are in the body of Christ. That means how much reality we have in the body of Christ. Okay, message three is on experiencing the work of the cross for the body and living in a unique fellowship of the body. I like this title very much because it's very experiential, right? It has the two verbs, experiencing and living. So you see, the principle is something of life. The principle is something organic. We do not just talk about the cross of Christ. we talk about the cross that works, the work of Christ. And not just that, our experience of the work of the cross. And then we do not just talk about the fellowship of the body. We know the body is one, the body is universal, the fellowship is one. But are we living in this fellowship? So these principles are all together organic, like the medical checkup. How are you doing? How are you experiencing the work of the cross? How are we living in the fellowship of the body? Okay, now, Roman numeral 1, we already read it. If we would live in the reality of the body of Christ, we need to. So that means we need to keep this principle, which is to experience the work of the cross for the body and in the body. My, this single statement worth so much. It's so packed. See, you have the cross, and then you have the work of the cross, and the experience of the work of the cross, and you have the body. You have for the body and in the body. The four sub-points actually unpacks this statement. Because capital A says the cross leads us to the body. That means the cross is for the body. When we say for the body, it refers to the goal, G-O-A-L. What is the goal of the work of the cross? It is for the body. And B says the cross leads to the body and the cross operates in the sphere of the body. So when we talk about in the body, it's a matter of the sphere. So here you have the cross, you have the work of the cross, you have the experience of the work of the cross, but we have to see that all of this is for the goal of what? The body. It's for the body. And this experience, this working of the cross, is in a very particular realm, a very particular sphere. What is it? It is in the body. This means that if you are not in the body, you do not experience the work of the cross. As we get into the outline, we'll see why. So, capital A is about the goal, leads to the body. Capital B is about the sphere or the realm, the body, in the body. And C is about our experience in the body of Christ. We cannot go on without the cross. So this going on with the cross is our experiencing of the cross. And D is a key to it. How can we experience the cross? We need the revelation of the body. Okay. About the cross. Of course, all Christians uplift the cross, but many in a very superficial way, right? Especially like the Catholics, they have these crucifixes, and every year during the springtime, they call it the Easter time, they would have somebody bearing the cross, right? Walking the pathway of passion. And of course, we know this is not what we are talking about, because we are talking about the cross that works. It's not the cross as a historical event 2,000 years ago on Golgotha. It's the cross that still works today. Amen. So in our English hymnal, we have this hymn. I like this very much. That says, the cross on Golgotha will never save thy soul. Right? Hymn 477. The cross on Golgotha will never save thy soul. This sounds strange. Isn't the cross all effective? Why is it the cross on Golgotha will never save thy soul? The next line says, the cross in thine own heart alone can make thee whole. So when we talk about the work of the cross, it's not just the work, the cross on Golgotha. The writer of the hymn says, that cross, the objective cross, the cross as a historical event cannot save your soul. It's the cross that you take into your heart that can make you whole. Amen. So we need to see the work of the cross. How can the cross as an event 2,000 years ago still work in us? Hebrews 9:14 says clearly, Christ what he did on the cross is through the eternal spirit offered himself to God. So his offering of himself, his being put to death on the cross, was done through the eternal spirit. That is why in Bernice's early ministry, he had this message on the time of the cross. And he said, he used this adjective to describe the cross. He said the cross is the timeless cross. It's not the cross 2,000 years ago. It's the timeless cross because its efficacy is for eternity. Because Christ was put on the cross, he did this through the eternal spirit. So what we are talking about here is this cross that continues to work in every one of us. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, always bearing about in the body the putting to death of Jesus. It's not just the death of Jesus on the cross. It's the putting to death of Jesus. It's the work of the cross in us. And he continues to say, so then, death operates in us, but life in you. Amen. Let's say this. Death operates in us, but life in you. See? This is a cross that operates. This is the death of Christ that continues to operate. And the operation of this cross results in life in you. So you see, the experience of the cross, experience of the work of the cross for the body. Paul was experiencing the putting to death of Jesus, the death of Christ operating in him. But the result is life in you. Amen. So you see the cross leading or issuing in the body. Amen. So here you have the verses listed, Roman numeral 1 from Corinthians. We know the church in Corinth is a typical church full of problems. But at the very beginning, Paul said he did not determine to know anything except Jesus Christ and this one crucified. So to this problematic church, full of problems, what is his unique solution? Christ and this one crucified. Amen. So at the very beginning of the epistle, he presented the cross of Christ to the Jews, to the Greeks, to whatever problem. The solution is the cross of Christ. But then as he goes on, problem by problem, until you go to chapter 12, here listed, chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. What do you see? Even as the body is one and has many members, and all the members being many are one body, so also is Christ. So also is the Christ. So you see, from the book of Corinthians, it begins with the work of the cross, but that issues in the body of Christ. Amen. Here it also listed Colossians 1:20 and 3:15. You see the same thing. 1:20 is that God, to reconcile all things to himself, made peace through the blood of the cross. So in Colossians 1, you have the cross. But then, Colossians 3, he said, let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. So Christ made peace on the cross. This is the work of the cross. But this peace is altogether for the body. How do we experience this peace of Christ? We are called in the one body. So we see very clearly that the work of the cross is for the body. Capital A, the cross leads us to the body. The knowledge of the cross brings us the knowledge of the body of Christ. Here, when we talk about knowledge, of course, we know it's not just the objective knowledge, it's the subjective knowledge. Like Philippians 3. Paul says, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, right? And his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So this knowing is not an objective knowing, but a subjective knowing. We need to know the cross subjectively, and that will bring us to the knowledge subjectively of the body of Christ. B, the cross leads to the body, and the cross operates in the sphere of the body. Small one, the work of the cross goes as far as the body of Christ and consummates with the body of Christ. Again, you have here listed the verses in 1 Corinthians. Let's read small two together. Not only does the work of the cross Amen. So, we see clearly that the work of the cross is altogether for the goal of the body. And that is not the end. So, the cross leads to the body, and the cross continues to operate in the sphere of the body. That means, apart from the body, we do not really experience the cross. Brother Nee once said, if we come together as a congregation, there is no need for the cross. In Christianity, many, they would just come in on Sunday, sit on the pew, and listen to the hymn, listen to the sermon, not needing to contact anyone, and maybe donate some money, and that's it. For this kind of congregation, there's no need for the cross. But only in the sphere of the body. Oh, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. What sphere are we in? Oh, the body. We have been called into this one body. And it is here, in the body life, that we experience the cross, right? We often have problems in the church life, in the body life. It's not just church life, it's body life. Church can be just a congregation, right? Attending a meeting, doing what I want, and that's it. But the body, you cannot do what you want. The finger has to listen to the arm. The finger cannot say, I want to go to the eating area when the arm wants to stay here, right? So, in the realm of the body, I think we have a lot of such experiences. We are limited as members of the body. And in this limitation, we experience the work of the cross. Amen. This afternoon, Brother Bill was sharing about some of the history, and that reminds me of the subjective death of Christ. You know, that was in church history. That was preached maybe firstly by Jesse Penn Lewis, right? So when we talk about the cross, not just objectively but subjective experience, it was Jesse Penn Lewis who first taught about this, but she did not see the body of Christ. So eventually, she talked about spiritual warfare, but all together in the individual realm. And even in her old age, it was a kind of a miserable condition. He was predominated even with demons. So you see, one person might talk about the cross, even the subjective effects of the cross. But if you do not see the body, if you are not in the realm of the body, you do not have the real experience of the cross. And even the younger student of Jesse Penn Lewis, Austin Sparks, right? Austin Sparks took a step further from the subjective aspect of the death of Christ to the truth of resurrection. He even talked about the body being a matter of resurrection. He touched the matter of the body of Christ. But, you know, 1955, 57, he visited the churches in Taiwan, especially in 57, he attacked the oneness of the body. And his own personal testimony is that after that visit, as the plane departs from the airport, Taipei airport, he said, the flow within me stopped. He cried to the Lord again and again, but the flow would not resume. So you see, there can be such spiritual persons knowing the cross of Christ, even the resurrection of Christ. But if this is not in the body, if this is not for the body, it's not reality at all. In the church history, in our history, we have turmoils after turmoils, and I remember Bradley shared about this dissenting one. He said he was so good at preaching about the cross, 基督十字架108条, he could enumerate 108 items concerning the effects of the cross. So such a person teaching about the cross, but does he have the cross? Because of his dissenting, he was altogether out of the realm of the body. So all of those are just doctrines. So this is a lesson we need to learn from history. We need to see the cross, the work of the cross, our experience of the work of the cross is totally for the body. and totally in the sphere of the body. So if we live in the sphere of the body, spontaneously, we will experiencing the work of the cross. So, capital C, in the body of Christ, we cannot go on without the cross. I love this utterance. We cannot go on. That is a matter of our going on. So it's a matter of reality. It's not just whether I have heard the body of Christ, whether I know the body is one. It's whether we are going on in the body. Oh, brothers and sisters, are we going on? Oh, we are going on in the body of Christ. And as soon as we are going on in the body, we will know we cannot do this without the cross. Because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, up to 6, these are the experiences of the cross. Brother Lee, in the book Experience of Life, he identified 7 aspects concerning our fallen being. Okay, let me just put it on the board. You can read that chapter on dealing with the self. He said, our fallen being is the old man, right? The old man, the old Adam. And when this old man speaks, he calls himself what? The I, right? So the old man is the I, and the life in the old man is the soul life. Or you may say the natural life. And because in the Bible, you have all these terms, so we need to, Brother Lee presented it very clearly. So you have the old man, the eye, the life of the eye is the soul life. And the expression of the old man, the expression of the soul life is the flesh. Right? It's the flesh. So when we talk about the flesh, it's the totality, the total expression of the old man, the eye. The life within is the soul life or the natural life, and the expression is the flesh. And of course, we know the flesh is a negative entity. But actually, in the Bible, the flesh, there are 2 aspects. You have the evil aspect and the good aspect. The evil aspect, like Galatians 5, talks about the works of the flesh, right? All those negative things. So you have the evil aspect. You might call the lust of the flesh. But then the flesh has also the good aspect. So what is this? One is the opinion. Like in Matthew 16, the Lord unveiled his crucifixion, and Peter said, well, out of a good heart, no, Lord, God be merciful to you. This should not happen to you. This is his opinion. This is not evil, but it is the good flesh. It's the opinion, and we call this the self. Because the Lord says you have to take up the cross, you have to deny the self. And actually, in Philippians 3, Paul talks about a kind of service that is according to the flesh. He said, we do not boast of our flesh anymore. When he was a Jew, right? When he was in Judaism, he had a kind of service. But he said that was according to the Judaistic circumcision. That was of the flesh. Now we no longer worship God in the flesh. So you see that the flesh has the good part. So one of the good part is opinion. The other is our ability, our capability, our methods, our wits. Like we can do a lot of things out of the old man, out as the flesh, as the expression of the old man. And it is not evil. It's not that it's good. But still, it is the flesh. So this is our abilities, and sometimes we call this the natural constitution. The reason I mention this is this helps us to see the work of the cross and our experience of the work of the cross. And Brother Lee says, the work of the cross, according to Romans 6, is to deal with the old man. Seeing this, that the old man has been crucified with Christ. So this is the work of the cross, is to crucify our old man. So for us to experience the work of the cross, we need to see this fact. In the death of Christ, not only is the redemptive aspect, his dying for us, there is also the terminating aspect, his dying with us. When he was crucified, we are also crucified with him. Our old man has been crucified with Christ. That is why Paul can also say in Galatians 2 that I am crucified with Christ. Amen. So this is the work of the cross objectively. And when we see this spiritual fact, we apply it to our experience. Then we experience the cross dealing with all of these other aspects, our natural life, our flesh, our lust, our self, our natural constitution. Amen. So we need to see the cross of Christ, which is so effective, which is still working today. And we can experience this work of the cross for the body and in the body. Okay, we'll just go through the small points. So the cross will test us and sift away all our mixtures and uncleanness. In the body of Christ, the reality of the body of Christ, not only is the head Christ, the body of Christ is just Christ himself. Christ is not just the head, he is the body. He is every single member of the body. Amen. Colossians 3, in the new man, there is no Jew, no Greek, no whatever, right? It's Christ is all and in all. So the body cannot tolerate any mixture, any uncleanness, cannot tolerate any foreign materials, right? Like in our organic body, sometimes we lose a tooth, so we need to put in a denture. The denture is not the organic body, right? So here it says, we need the cross to test and sift away the mixtures, the uncleanness. Here, it's about the experience of Peter. Matthew 16, the Lord says that he has to deny himself, take up his cross. And Luke 22 is before the Lord's betrayal by Judas. And Luke 22, the Lord says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have you all to sift you as wheat. I have made petition concerning you that your faith would not fail you. I will not fail. And then he said, you, once you have turned again, establish your brothers. Once you turn again, establish your brothers. But at that time, Peter did not understand. He said, no, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison, even to death. What did the Lord say? The Lord said, I tell you, a rooster will not crow today until you deny me three times. So, this failure of Peter, actually in the Lord's sovereignty, is a sifting, the sifting work of the cross. That is why the Lord says, after you have turned again, you can establish your brothers. Before Peter's failure, he did not experience the cross. I think in the life studies, Brother Lee said, during that night, he denied the Lord three times, the Lord looked at him and the rooster crowed, and he wept. Really said, that was Peter experiencing the cross. Not only was the Lord put on the cross, this Peter, who is so confident of himself, that boasted of his, you know, following the Lord absolutely even to death, but he failed. He denied the Lord even in the presence of a young maid, right? And he wept. What is that? That is the breaking of the cross. And this sifts away all the mixtures, all the uncleanness. You know, we might come to serve out of our zeal. Oh, we love the Lord, we love the church, I want to do this, I want to do that. But the Lord, in his sovereignty, allows us to fail in some way. And the Lord says, once you have returned, you can establish your brothers. So we need the sifting work of the cross. And two, is even deeper because the cross will take away. I really like the way, you know, the utterance. Sift away is more outward. And then there's something more inward. It needs to dig into it because it's a natural life, right? What the flesh is outward, the outward expression, but the natural life, the soul life is inside. But the cross will dig into us, take away our natural life, our own activities, and any disproportionate growth in the church life. It's very good that during the prophesying time, the brothers will always say, okay, everyone, 3 minutes. But oftentimes, sometimes we do not make our 3 minutes. Sometimes we take 10 minutes. This is what disproportionate growth. Everyone helps us as a measure, and we need to function according to that measure. And we need to let the cross take away. You know, this is out of our natural life. Some would like to go on for 15 minutes because his natural life is talkative. And some would barely make 1 minute because in his natural life, he is shy. So no matter too long or too short, we need the cross to dig away our natural life. And three, life and work in the body necessitate the drastic dealings with the flesh, right? The total expression is the flesh. And such dealings necessitate a deep knowledge of the cross. And four, let's read four. The restriction of the body will take away our freedom and drive us to the cross. Amen. I've already said this. If you are just a member of a congregation, you are free. But here we are not free. We have no freedom at all. Because we are restricted in the body of Christ. And that drives us to the cross. You know, every one of us wants human right. Freedom. Yeah. Why is it that I cannot do what I want? Oh, but in the body life, we are restricted. And that restriction drives us to the cross. Amen. The natural life in us that wants that freedom, that wants to do whatever we want, we need the cross, right? The cross to crucify our old man with all these aspects. Amen. Five. Let's read five. All of God's dealings with us. So the cross, on the one hand, it looks like a plus. Actually, it's a big minus. The work of the cross is an elimination. See, all of these seven things in our natural being needs to be eliminated. When these are eliminated, then you can function properly. See, the old man in, you know, versus what, the new man, right? And when you have the I crucified, it's no longer I who live, but Christ. Then you have Christ here, right? When your soul life is put away, you do not live by your soul life, by natural life. You have the divine life, right? And the flesh, you know, Galatians 6 has the works of the flesh versus the fruits of the Spirit. So we need the cross to do this eliminating work. To eliminate all these negative factors out of our old man. And then we will have the new man. Amen. We will have Christ. We will live by the divine life. And we will have the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. And we will function properly in the body of Christ. Amen. One more point. Six. If our natural life is dealt with by the cross, and if we submit to the headship of Christ and live the body life, we will have the Spirit's anointing and enjoy the fellowship of the body. So in the body of Christ, headship is very important. This matter of headship has to be dealt with because the body has only one head. But our problem is, who is the head? We always want to be the head, right? In our homes, the Chinese things, they always like to hang Christ, 基督是我家之主, Christ is the head of this house. But that should be a warning to us, right? In your house, sister, who is the head? Amen. I'm not exposing anybody. I'm exposing myself. This is a matter of the headship. It has to be dealt with. And Brother Nee, he had a very good illustration. I want to read you some. He, in the 1939 messages, he talked about the headship. He said, all the headships interfering with the absolute headship of Christ, this has to be dealt with. And he used the illustration of David of the Old Testament. He said, David had two enemies. Who are they? Goliath and Saul. We know the young David, he fought against the giants, Goliath. Bernie says, Saul was fighting Goliath, but he was as much an enemy of David as Goliath because he tried to keep David from the throne. Right? David was the anointed one, but Saul was usurping the throne. So, Bernie says, one was an enemy on the outside, Goliath, and the other was an enemy on the inside. Both of these, the outstanding feature of Saul was his head. You know, when the people chose him, he was a head above the others, right? And also, the outstanding feature of Goliath, of course, was also his head. He was such a giant. Everything that comes from the human head, our human intellect, our ideas, our opinions, keeps the anointed one from the throne. It's our head, our intellect, our ideas, our opinions, that keeps Christ from the throne, that usurps the headship of Christ. So Bernie says, one day a stone from David's sling dealt a death blow to Goliath, and Saul's doom was also sealed that day. When Goliath is dealt with, Saul is dealt with also. So we need this stone from David's sling. This is the work of the cross. Destroy the head of Goliath. Oh, so that we submit to the headship of Christ. We are no longer the head of ourselves. Christ is the head of the body. So we need this stone out of the sling as the work of the cross. Amen. Okay, so these are all of the experiences of the work of the cross for the body and in the body. D, let's read. The revelation of the body is very costly, for it touches the spring of our natural life. Amen. How do we experience this? We need, first of all, to have a revelation. A revelation not only of the work of the cross, also a revelation of the body. Here, the verse references, number one says, we'll be broken under the vision of the body. We'll realize the only way for us to know the body and build up in the body is to be broken. And then the quotes are about Paul, right? On the way to Damascus, he saw this vision of the body, the great eye, right? Lord, who, yeah? I am the one that you are persecuting. It's the great eye. It's the body of Christ that he saw. But right away, he became blind. He could not see. Before, he could do so many things. But the revelation brings with it the cross, right? Crossing out the natural being of Saul. So eventually, he needed somebody to lead him into the street. And he needed a small brother, Ananias, to come and pray for him, to lay hands on him, to have his eyes open, to usher him in the body. So we see we need this revelation. We need a revelation of the body of Christ. And this revelation is costly because it costs our natural life. Once we see this revelation, the cross will come in to operate in us, to eliminate all these negative things, all these things that usurps the headship of Christ, so that we are brought into the body of Christ. Three, let's read three together. The revelation of the body will mean... Amen. Amen. I think my time is up, so I learned from Brother Livingstone. We can go through the next part in a few minutes. Amen. But I really hope that we see these principles as organic principles, as things in our subjective experience. And we see all of these are in the body and for the body. And if we experience the work of the cross, actually the previous point, success, it will bring us to the Spirit's anointing and into the fellowship of the body, which is the next point. If we are dealt with by the cross, if we are brought under the headship of Christ, you know, this anointing on Aaron's head will flow right to the other parts of the body. And we are ushered into the fellowship of the body. So the next principle is what? Let's read together. Since the body of Christ is uniquely one universally, the fellowship of the body of Christ
is also uniquely one universally.
A, let's read. Just as there is the circulation of the blood in the human body, so there is a circulation in the body of Christ, a circulation which the New Testament calls fellowship. So when we talk about fellowship, it is a circulation. So it is ongoing. You know, 2 months ago, Brother Paul Wu, right? He attended a meeting here, and on the plane back to LA, something very drastic happened. Huh? His heartbeat stopped. That could be fatal. Huh? Circulation is very important. But as all of you know, the Lord, you know, brought him through resurrection. And he is very well recovered. Well, this reminds us, you know, nowadays as we pay attention to our physical circulation, we need to pay attention to the circulation in the body of Christ, the fellowship. Amen. It's ongoing. It's not just last year we had some kind of blending. No, it needs to be a continual circulation. Oh, I think this weekend mini conference is part of this circulation, right? So that the Lord speaking, yeah, circulates to every one of us, to every member of the body. And B says this fellowship is the stream of the divine life. So this circulation is what? The content of this circulation is what? It's a stream of the divine life. Oh, our triune God is the God of life. And our triune God is the flowing triune God. Oh, we have to experience the flow, the stream of the divine life in us. And C says if we live in the reality of the body of Christ, we are restricted in the fellowship and the body of Christ is kept in oneness. D, this unique fellowship is related to the unique oneness of the body. The body is one, so the circulation is one. Consider our physical body. My finger cannot say, oh, this is the blood that belongs to me. No, there is no blood that belongs to a certain member, even a certain organ. All the blood belongs to the entire body. Amen. So it is this circulation, this fellowship that restricts us and keeps us in oneness. Amen. Let's read small 2. Small 2 under D. This oneness is the oneness
of the Spirit
and also
the oneness of the body of Christ.
Amen. And then E says it's the fellowship among the churches. It's so good that even this weekend we have the churches. Amen. As a practice of the fellowship of the body of Christ. No church can isolate itself from the fellowship of the body of Christ. F, whenever we come to the Lord's table, we come to practice the unique fellowship of the universal body of Christ. Every week we have the Lord's table. In 1 Corinthians, actually there are two aspects. You have the Lord's table and the Lord's supper. The Lord's table is for our enjoyment and our satisfaction. And the Lord's Supper is for the Lord's satisfaction. So when we have the Lord's table, we have to keep the fellowship of the oneness. We have to discern the bread. The bread that we break is not a local bread. It's a bread that signifies the entire body of Christ. Otherwise, even though we could be a local church on the so-called local ground, but we would become a local sect if this so-called local church is isolated from the fellowship of the other churches, of the body of Christ. This kind of things happen time and again in our history and should be a lesson to us. Amen. May we treasure this flow of life, this one fellowship in the body. And the bread that we break is a sign of this fellowship of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Lest I grow disproportionately. Huh? That's the time for you. I don't know whether it's 1 minute or 2 minutes. But we are all members of the body of Christ. Oh, we have a measure. We need to let the divine life flow in us. And if you don't feel to speak, maybe the cross will work in you, operate in you something to eliminate some of your preference. Amen. May the Lord move in us. Amen. Amen. Fellowship of the body of Christ.
Okay, I did some work. So the general subject is living in the reality of the body of Christ by keeping the principle of the body. Pay attention to this word, the principle of the body. Says, can I ask you what is the principle? What does it mean, the principle? Okay. Okay. Bob, can you say that again?
I said organic life laws.
Organic life law. Life law. Amen. Very close. You know, this word, the principle, if you can replace another word called law, it may be more understandable, right? Brother Lee said that Romans chapter 8 verse 2, the law or the spirit of life, okay? He said this law is not the law of letter as in the Old Testament, you keep some regulation. He said this law is a scientific law. What's the meaning for scientific law? Scientific law means that if you have fulfilled some kind of condition and there will be a result happen spontaneously, right? If I threw the apple on the air, what will happen? It turns down. Why? Because it operates according to the law. Tell you a story. 3 years ago, I went to New York for some conference. I went to the airport. I left the airport at 11 a.m. and I arrived at my home at 3:30 a.m. Why? Because there was a thunderstorm upon the O'Hare Airport. Thunderstorm. So many airplanes are not allowed to land it. So we detour in the air for a certain period of time. And this is the most dangerous airplane I ever have. Sometimes the plane will go to the right, and sometimes it go to the left, and sometimes the ground speed is zero. Have you ever taken this kind of plane? So a small girl sit beside me, was scared to say it. So that's, she's crying, she's sobbing, because she felt that she will never live again. So after we landed on Rockford, I had a chance to talk to pilot, very young, only 20-some years old. He said, if you know I'm so young, are you there to check my flight? Okay, that's another point. I asked him, at the time, the air flight was stopped. The ground speed is zero. Are you afraid? He said, no, I'm not afraid. He said, no matter how modern the plane is, how sophisticated the navigation system, how advanced the material, he said, the airplane is still governed by the aerodynamic law, right? If you happen in this way, how should you maneuver your air flight? If you turn in that way, how should you maneuver? If you stop in the air, you should plunge into the lower place, right? So he said, I'm not afraid. Not from that time, I have come to realization, oh, the one who knows the law and the one who do not know the law is very different. The one who do not know the law scares to death, right? On the airplane, I saw many people cry. I almost cry also. I saw many people cry because we almost die. How can you fly the air flight, turn to the right for several feet and turn to the left instantly and stop in the air, right? I almost scared to death, but the pilot, they do not afraid. He said, we are trained to know the aerodynamic law. So we don't afraid. We know how to handle the situation. He said, no danger at all. So I realized, the one who knows the law is different from the one who does not know the law. And today, you think, this, of course, Romans chapter 8, verse 2, is many refer to the spiritual law, the law of God, right? But do you think that the head had a law and the body have another law? Of course not. There's only one law, right? So, the law of the head is a law govern the whole body. So also, the body has a law to govern its entire body of Christ. I tell you that this set of message is actually coming from two set of message. One is, brother just mentioned, the Memorial Day Conference last year in Charlotte. The other set is from 1998, also the Thanksgiving Day Conference. And the title is Keeping the Principle of the Body. And that conference, Brother Ron gave us 20 principles. This set, we only have 7 principles. And that conference gave us 20 principles. So tomorrow I will share some more about this principle. So do come tomorrow. Amen. If you want to in the reality of the body of Christ, you must know the principle and also keep the principle. You know that after this Chinese speaking conference, I heard a student share that, I was sleep very late. I like to sleep, sit up very late and wake up very late. He said, so my physical condition is not good. He said that afterwards, I changed my habit. I go to sleep early and wake up early. Now, my physical condition is very good. Why? Because he fulfilled the law of the body. So, by the same token, today, if we want to live in the reality of the body of Christ, we must keep the principle of the body. We must keep the law of the body. Then we will have the reality of the body of Christ. Amen. So, we still have some time. Could you have some sharing for the saints? Amen. We have 2 microphones. We can have some sharing of the saints. Amen. Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you for your being with us.
Amen.
Oh, cause us to see the body,
Amen.
To live in the reality of the body,
Amen.
By keeping the principle of the body.
Amen.
Lord, bless this word.
Amen.
Oh, bring us little by little
Amen.
Into this reality.
Amen.
Oh, we believe that the spirit of reality
Amen.
Will get us into all of reality.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.